Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Dick Massimilian. He is a management consultant, business owner, fellow, has an MBA from Wharton, a BA from Yale. He's an author and speaker. Dick, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Christopher. Nice to be here.
So networks are so important. I have a friend, he's Yale undergrad and Harvard Law School. And one time he asked me about networking because he's trying to find a job because he wrote a book on networking with billionaires and executives. And I said, Kevin, why are you asking me? You literally have two of the most well-known networks in the world. In his case, it was Harvard and Yale, but in your case, it's Yale and Wharton. So I'm curious, yes, you might have learned a lot from there, Dick, but how helpful has your networks at Yale or Wharton been for your career or just your personal life?
I think, look, the opportunity to go to Yale and Wharton is an extraordinary gift. There's no two ways about it. You are lucky and blessed to go to, you know, to have attended one of them, much less two of them. I think that in terms of the network, it is, number one, it's what you make of it. To the extent you stay in touch with people and use the network will benefit you in ways you cannot, you can't predict. Number two, I would say that a lot of it is the, when you meet someone who went to either of those schools, you share a common experience. That's something that and it gives you something in common with people. And I think that that is a very much a value of those schools and of those networks. And yeah. Finally, there is, of course, the credibility factor. It isn't, you know, the education at those schools is obviously extraordinary. And you can get extraordinary education at a lot of institutions. But there is just the brand cachet that is a tremendous benefit of having attended one of those institutions. So yeah. I would say those three things, Christopher.
Thank you, Dick. And so when you decided to be a consultant, a management consultant, how did you decide to get into that world? Because so many people want to start companies and you clearly are a leadership expert. So how did you get into that world of consultancy?
I had an MBA in finance. My first job was as a commercial lending officer at 399 Park Avenue for Citibank in New York. And I was not a particularly good banker. it's one of those things where I could do it, but I didn't enjoy it. And one day, I was looking through the Yale alumni career listings they sent out at the time, a book, and I found a management consulting firm, and I applied and was hired, and although my first job was in management consulting was crunching numbers for a firm called Towers Perrin Forster and Crosby, executive compensation consulting. But I found where I belong because I found variety. I often joke and tell people consulting is for variety junkies. New industry, new company, new people, new situation, new challenges, new geographic location, new. So that's what I found in management consulting, and that's why I've never left. Other than starting a company or two myself, but I love my field.
No, again, it's a cornucopia of challenge and innovation. They study this in terms of high performers. You always have to have that novelty effect because ultimately that helps you grow and learn. You look at someone like Elon Musk, the guy was not a rocket scientist. He just read books, and same thing with his Tesla car. He's just a constant voracious learner. But for you, Dick, in terms of the things you teach and coach your clients, when you talk about leadership, that's a very broad term. In your LinkedIn, it says that great leadership is no accident. So how do you define leadership and how do you go about helping your clients become better leaders?
I think the essence of leadership deals with is the ability to bring out the best in yourself and others. Really the best, and the reason you have to bring out the best in yourself is so that you can bring out the best in others so that they are build futures and are happy and fulfilled. I think that, so that's what I think the essence of leadership is the ability to bring out the best in others. And I would say that it's no accident because it takes work. And it takes work, it takes focus, relentless focus on what's working. It takes relentless focus on the things you have that, you know, it takes a lot of gratitude. And I think it's no accident because I think, I really do believe that anyone can be a leader. Actually, to be actually technically accurate, I think that everyone is a leader, has leadership in him or her. And the challenge isn't becoming it, it's really bringing it out. Along the lines of the famous analogy, of, and I believe it was Michelangelo who said, you know, I don't carve the stone, the statue's there, and I just chip away so that I can reveal what's already there. And I, yeah, that's my philosophy of leadership.
And that's a great analogy. And I highly, highly, highly encourage those who have never been to Italy, Florence, Italy, specifically, to actually see David. It's one of those amazing experiences. And going back to your analogy, it takes about 30,000 etches just to take shape. And with a lot of us as human beings, we forget that we all started by crawling before we walked. Mm-hmm. And I love that analogy because we really have this leadership in us, but without people like yourself to help them lead, it's hard. So when you talk about how you're an expert in leadership development and organizational architecture, can you walk us through an example of this architecture mindset of when you, let's say, first day in, you talk to your leader, what are some of the basic frameworks and foundations that you want to really lay it down so they kind of understand what the conversation is about?
Well, when I work with an individual, I've got kind of five philosophical innings. And I start with, and they are as follows. Number one, clear line of sight to the business results. How is what we're talking about relate to what you're accountable for individually, for your team, for your division, for your organization? Number two, I'm a great believer in emotional intelligence as defined by Daniel Goleman, meaning there are a whole set of skills and abilities above and beyond academic acumen that determine whether someone is a successful leader. Number three, I think you have to, when you're working with someone, you have to talk to them about goals and objectives, but you have to look holistically, by which I mean our professional goals exist in the context of our personal goals. And so you have to talk to someone about his or her professional goals, but also his or her personal goals. Number four, I'm a big believer in leveraging strengths. I think you get a lot more out of finding what works with and for someone and leveraging those strengths versus attempting to find development opportunities and shore them up. In fact, I would go so far to say as to define a weakness as a strength that you push too far and overplay. Finally, I believe that the internal and the external, while distinct, are linked and reflect each other. For example, executive presence has an internal component, things like self-confidence, self-concept, comfortable in your own skin, and an external component. How do you speak? How do you stand? How do you dress? How do you actually live to develop the stamina that it is assumed that every leader has, but is very often taken for granted? And you burn the candle at both ends over time at your own peril. So the internal and the external are connected and reflect each other. So those are the five kind of places I start. The other thing I would say is that it's my belief that that leadership is inextricably linked with self-awareness. And that as if you want to elevate someone's leadership ability, you elevate his or her self-awareness. And there are many ways.
That's amazing, Dick. Is there one leader that you really admire that has a very high level of self-awareness?
Well, the leader, I think I'd say way up the list of the leaders I most admire, Winston Churchill, but I obviously never knew him. And I don't know. But in terms of self-awareness, Christopher, I'm going to have to take that under advisement. I hate not answering you, but off
no
the
worries.
Top of my head, I don't have somebody.
No worries. Well, you've already given us so many amazing insights, so I appreciate that. How can our guests connect with you and stay in touch with you?
My website is rdmassimilian, rdmassimilian.com, rdmassimilian.com. You can also look up my book, How to Lead an Effective Meeting and Get the Results You Want. How to Lead an Effective Meeting and Get the Results You Want. You can find it on Amazon and connect with me that way. And those are probably the two best ways, Christopher.
Great. Dick, thanks again for your time. Have a great day.
You too, Christopher. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.